Have you ever been in a situation where you simply have to put one foot in front of the other and keep going? Exactly 2 years ago today, we had a team of short-term missionaries in Costa Rica, evangelizing and training church leaders. Some of you were on that trip. When I take a mission trip with a group, I like to take a day or so to spend some time sightseeing. If you're in a country that you may never be in again, it's a good opportunity to do that. In Costa Rica, we decided to take some time to hike up to the top of a dormant volcano to see some beautiful views of the countryside. Our entire team started on that journey up that volcano, and immediately people started dropping out. Immediately people said, "That's all right, I'm gonna stay here." And indeed, it was a long and aggressive hike. However, I was the leader, you know, I was the young pastor, so I felt like I needed to keep going. And I kept pushing and I kept pursuing the goal. And alas, three of us made it to the top. Here's a picture of Susan Pervat and me at the top of that volcano. Of course, somebody took that picture. That would have been our missionary guide, and I'm glad he went with us to the top because we didn't know where we were going. And so we made it all the way to the top. There were some others who made it close, but those were the ones that finished, and we kept pursuing that goal. You know, if something is worth pursuing, even though it's hard, you keep going. You put one foot in front of the other, and you just keep at it. The Apostle Paul is going to point the Philippians and us to a goal that is worth pursuing. And we're going to discover that there is a call to a pursuit and there is a prize at the end of that pursuit. Today we're going to learn about God's heavenly call in Christ. I want to go to the Lord again in prayer and ask him to speak to us specifically in a unique way at this specific time for this specific purpose. Let's ask him to speak through the Bible, his word, as we study the book of Philippians. Join me now in prayer. God, would you speak to us right now? What do you have to say to us from Philippians chapter 3? Would you make it clear? Would our ears and eyes and hearts and minds be open to what you want us to learn? There is so much for us in your word, so help us to be eager to learn, eager to be more like the people in the church you've called us to be. Lord, there are surely people in this room who do not know Jesus as their Lord. May you draw them to yourself today by the power of your Holy Spirit, who is revealing how much we need Jesus because of the problem of our sin, and that Jesus can save us and make us new. Bless us now as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin our passage together. I'm going to read the entire passage today, and then we'll kind of walk through it. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a black Bible somewhere near you. If you're in the back, they're under the chairs, some of the chairs. If you're in the top or in the front, they're in the back of something. So if you don't have a Bible at home, let that be our gift to you. You can take that with you, and we have others. If you do have a Bible at home, just put it back when you're done. By the way, periodically, some people ask me what version of the Bible I preach from. There are a lot of good English translations. I preach from the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. So if you can't find it in your phone or something, that's what it is, CSB. You can follow along that way if you want as well. Starting in verse 12. Not that I have already reached a goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. Well, that's our passage for today, and we're going to walk through that now. Paul is going to reveal four aspects of being a follower of Jesus, four aspects of being a Christian. So take notice of this first, the Christian call. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. The Christian call. Paul speaks of this call in verses 12, 13, and 14. He says right away that he, Paul, has not reached the goal of being made perfect. How many of you here today know that you're not perfect? Okay, your hand should be up, by the way. How many of you know that those sitting around you are not perfect? Yeah, right? Church, we have not yet reached Christian perfection. We have not yet reached the goal of being totally like Jesus. The Christian life is not about perfection. It's about the pursuit of perfection. I think that's worth saying again. That was pretty good. Good job, Pastor Matt. The Christian life is not about perfection. It's about the pursuit of perfection. We are pursuing Jesus every single day, seeking to be closer and closer to him until one day we will be with him forever. More on that in just a moment. Stay tuned. But the fancy theological word for this pursuit is sanctification. Sanctification is seeking to be more holy every day. Seeking to be more holy every day. And here's the beautiful reality. Listen, as I was writing this sermon, the way I wrote it first, it sounded like Jesus was running away from us. But here's the beauty. Jesus is not moving. Jesus is staying where he is. We're not chasing someone who's running from us. He is wanting and waiting for us to pursue him. He wants us to come to him. The goal is not moving. The goal is there waiting for us to come to him. However, our sin took us far from Jesus. That's what sin is. Sin is when we do anything outside of God's design for us, and the result of that, it gets us far from Jesus. In fact, the Bible says we were enemies of God when we were without Jesus, far from Jesus. But now that we are made new, those of us who are made new by the blood of Jesus, who have asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to come into our heart, to change our lives, to make us new, now we can move closer and closer to him every day. In fact, because Jesus changed us, we should want to be closer to him. Excuse me. I'm made new. I'm not sick, actually. That was just a little thing there. But because Jesus changed us, we should want to be closer to him. Paul said in verse 12, look at your Bibles. Don't take my word for it. Paul said in verse 12, I make every effort to take hold of it because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. So the question is, church, has Jesus taken hold of you? If Jesus has taken hold of you by the power of the gospel and the depth of his great love, make every effort to take hold of the goal of being closer to Jesus. Paul says, he's taken hold of me, so I'm chasing after him. Paul acknowledges in verse 13, once again, he acknowledges that he's not yet there. Listen, church, some of you get discouraged because you're not a perfect Christian. Sometimes people will come to me and say, Pastor, I got to tell you about something. I'm not perfectly doing what the Bible tells me to do. And I go, I know. I'm not either. Right? We're not perfect, right? Paul says, not that I have already been made perfect. We're not perfect yet. We're pursuing perfection. Listen, church, don't be discouraged. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying go out and sin and live it up and have fun. No, I'm not saying that. Have fun, but have fun by following Jesus. The ways of Jesus are so much better than the ways of this world. The reason sometimes we think sin is more fun is because our priorities are totally whacked out. Our affections are totally messed up. We think that there's joy found in these things when really the joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul talked about that earlier in the book of Philippians. And so we should not be discouraged when we're not perfect, but we should still maintain that pursuit, that aspiration to be more like Jesus. So just know, you're not perfect. I know that. Everybody around you knows that. You're not perfect, and neither are we. Secondly, when it comes to you not being perfect, you're in good company with the Apostle Paul. By the way, a pretty good Christian. The Apostle Paul did a pretty good job following Jesus. And he was not perfect. Paul said, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. Yet, Paul says later in verse 13 that he is forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. Listen, I wrote this down. I thought this was important too. God does not want you dwelling on your past failures and former sins. He wants you dwelling on your present pursuit and future glory. He does not want you dwelling on your past failures and future sins. He wants you dwelling on your present pursuit and future glory. He wants you right now to make a commitment to follow Jesus more every day. And he wants you to remember all the promises he has for you in Jesus Christ awaiting you in the new heaven and new earth when Jesus makes all things new. He wants you to remember those things. Paul is forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. What is ahead for those who are in Jesus? Well, it's Jesus. He is what is ahead of us. He and all the promises he has given us is what awaits those who are in Christ. Look again at what verse 14 says. Paul says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we are called to Jesus. That is what we are to pursue. Hear the call. The call is to chase after Jesus and his ways. So will you hear the call? Will you consider the call? Next, Christian maturity. Notice Christian maturity. Paul, pay attention when Paul says in verse 15, let all of us who are mature think this way. What way? What he just said. Okay, what he just said in verses 12 through 14, he's saying in verse 15, let all of us who are mature think this way. Now, of course, in the context of the conversation, he's talking about spiritual Christian maturity. What Paul is basically saying that as you grow in Christian maturity, you'll understand that this, what he described in verses 12 and 14, is how you should live. This is what you should pursue. This is what you do. You shouldn't live in past guilt and sin. You shouldn't sit in a neutral position, not going anywhere, right? The mature Christian understands that we should pursue Jesus daily. Don't stay in the past and don't sit still now. You know what happens? I've shared this with you before. I'll share it again. Francis Chan, a former pastor and Christian author, Francis Chan said, if life is a river, Christianity requires swimming upstream. You can't sit still and do nothing or else you'll go backwards. We are to pursue the prize, pursue the goal. And I love what Paul says in the second half of verse 15. He says, if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. Here's what he's basically saying. You'll figure it out later once you grow more in your faith and God teaches this reality to you. He's like, you may not agree with me now, but you'll come along later once you grow in Christian maturity. I love how Paul says that in a way that it's like, it kind of sounds like he's being nice, but he's basically saying you're wrong and you'll figure it out later. And this reminds me, you know, the way Paul says this reminds me of a newlywed husband who is so eager to teach his wife all these things about how she can improve as a person. God has given me to her so she can be made complete. Well, he'll figure it out later, right? He'll grow in maturity in his marriage and realize he's not right about everything. Likewise, Paul is essentially saying, as you mature in your faith, you'll figure this out. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 16 that whatever we have learned in our Christian walk, we should put that into practice. Pay attention here. You know, some new Christians, praise God, we have a lot of new Christians in our church. I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for the ones who have been Christians for decades as well. I'm learning from them. I hope y'all know I learn from you. I learn from you. And I'm grateful for those who have been Christians much longer than I. And I'm also grateful for those who are new, eager Christians. And sometimes they get down because they don't have all of Christianity figured out yet. I want to let everybody know a little secret. None of us have it all figured out yet. I'm still learning every day about what it means to follow Jesus. However, pay attention to what Paul has said here. Whatever God has taught you so far, live up to that level of understanding. I won't ask you to raise your hand this time. But how many of us will say we don't have it all figured out and we're not even doing perfectly what we do have figured out? Right? There's a lot to learn, and we should. But Paul's saying, whatever you know about following Jesus, do that at least. But then, as we grow and learn more about what it means to follow Jesus, then we live up to that new level of understanding, right? As we grow more and more, we live up to that new level of growth. It's sort of like, you know, we have a center shot archery ministry here. We haven't done it for a couple years, but, you know, if you go out there, when we go out there for center shot, we have some people who've never shot a bow before. And we've actually had people shoot arrows into, like, almost in the ceiling in our ministry center. And we're like, all right, we need to do a little bit better than that, right? That's your starting point. You're shooting the wall up by the ceiling. You're about 30 feet off the target. Let's just see if you can hit it anywhere on the styrofoam target, right? That's your new goal. And then once you get there, you say, okay, just keep doing that. But then as you become a better archer, then you can start working towards that bullseye. You start working towards the center of that target, and you have a new standard, right? You understand that? Your standard the first time you pick up a bow and arrow is not to get it in the bullseye every time. Just get it on the target, and then you improve from there. It's the same way in our Christian faith. Whatever level of understanding you have now, live there and then grow from there. This is what Paul's calling us to do. The Christian life is a progressive pursuit of Jesus a little more every day. It's a progressive pursuit of Jesus a little more every day. This is the mature way to think about your faith. And if you don't think that way, you'll understand later. And then in verse 17, Paul calls the Philippians to imitate him. Imitate him. Paul says elsewhere in the scriptures, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And here in verse 17, he has that same attitude, right? Paul is trying to be more and more like Jesus. And he's inviting others to do so with him. Ask yourself this question. Can I do that? Can you say to others, hey, I'm pursuing Jesus. Why don't you come along with me? Or here's another way to think of it. What would the Christian faith of others look like if they imitated you? Man, I hate that question. Convicts me. What would the Christian faith of others look like if they imitated you? Paul says, imitate me. Why? Because he's pursuing Jesus every day. Not living in the past, not staying still, walking forward towards Jesus. And then Paul concludes this section by saying to pay careful attention to those who live this way. What way? Those who are growing in Christian maturity. He says, pay careful attention to those who are growing in Christian maturity. Friends, we need to pay close attention to these words from Paul here. Think about this question. Who has an influence in your life? What kind of influences do you have in your life? To which people do you pay close attention? There's a lot of influences out there. If you're a follower of Jesus, you should be paying attention to Jesus and to those who are following Jesus. Here's a little trick that will help you become more like Jesus. Seek to be more like those who are seeking to be more like Jesus. That's not a tongue twister, right? Seek to be more like those who are seeking to be more like Jesus. Find some influences in your life of people who are following Jesus and seek to be more like them. Hey, church. We exist to develop what?
Disciples.
A disciple is a follower. We exist to develop disciples. You don't become a disciple on accident. It's a process. And part of that is Christian brothers and sisters having an influence in each other's lives, so they all together become more like Jesus. Find some people who can influence you to be more like Jesus. I recently got a new steering wheel for my 1982 Chevrolet C10. I was struggling with getting that steering wheel just right on my new vehicle, or on my old vehicle. New steering wheel on my very old vehicle. By the way, 1982 is a special year. I'm a 1982 model, by the way. And so it's the best year the vehicle could have been made. And plus, it helps me remember how old I am because my truck's that old. But anyhow, I was trying to get this new steering wheel on there, and it just wasn't going quite right. So I watched an instructional video on how to do that. And I must have paused that video 100 times to try to pay attention. If that person in the video moved the steering wheel that way, I would move the steering wheel that way. If they wrapped the wire for the horn around this post, I'd wrap the wire for the horn around this post. If they got a certain screwdriver, I'd get that certain screwdriver. And I imitated what they did in order to achieve the results that he achieved in the video, because his steering wheel worked and I wanted mine to work. That's the same way when it comes to following those who follow Jesus. You imitate them because you want the results that they are having in their lives, which is faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the idea. Imitate those who imitate Jesus and seek to become a more like Jesus a little bit every day. These are some of the steps that we take to achieve Christian maturity. We learn next in here this third thing about Christian citizenship. Christian citizenship. Paul goes on in verses 18 and 19 to speak about those who are enemies of the cross. There are people who do not follow Jesus. And instead, these people of which Paul is speaking are people who actually draw people away from Jesus. Paul speaks about this. He says he does so with tears. What are these tears about? Well, I think it might be twofold. I think one of the reasons is Paul has compassion for them, that they're lost in their sins. But I think also Paul has seen the influence that these people have on those he loves. I just want to tell you, as a pastor, our hearts break when we see people walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ and his ways. And we see it more often than we should. I don't even necessarily mean walking away from the faith, although that is indeed heartbreaking. But what I mean is when people do things that are explicitly against the Word of God, and they should know better. And it breaks our heart to the point of tears. And this is not something that escapes our church and our pastors. We see it, and it's heartbreaking. Particularly when you pour your life into somebody for so many years, and they completely abandon everything the Word of God taught them. And Paul says there are people who are enemies of the cross. And these people, listen, church, they will draw you away from Jesus. They will draw you away from Jesus. Now, bear in mind, Paul is talking about these people right after he's talked about those that we should imitate. So here's the point. We should seek to imitate those who take us closer to Jesus, not those who will take us farther away from Jesus. Is that common sense, right? You should seek to be more like those who are getting you closer to Jesus, not those who are taking you farther away from Jesus. Friends, there are many in this world, many in our community, many in your workplaces, many in your schools, perhaps some in your family, and sadly, even some in our churches who will take you farther away from Jesus. Don't follow them. Don't do it. It will lead to destruction in your life. Follow Jesus and follow those who follow Jesus. Those people that Paul spoke about, the ones who are enemies of the cross, he says they're living for themselves. Hey, did Paul have a little something earlier in Philippians to say about not living for yourself, about being selfless and humble and thinking of others? That's not the case with these. Paul says they're living for themselves. And then this weird little saying is Paul says their God is their stomach. What in the world does that mean? Here's what it means. It means they're taking in pleasure to satisfy their human desires, whether it's food or something else. You know, sometimes we treat our stomachs like gods, right? We say, oh boy, I'm gonna go make my stomach happy, right? That's the point here, is that these people are consumed with worldly pleasure to the point that they're not giving God the devotion that they should, because they're devoted to just making themselves happy and bringing pleasure to themselves and living for themselves. And Paul says their pleasure will turn to shame. Shame. They will experience shame because of their behavior. And unless they turn to Jesus, their end is destruction. Are those the type of people we should follow? Those whose end is destruction? Of course not. Now, see the contrast. Those people live for themselves and for earthly things. Not so for those who are in Jesus. Why? Why do we not live that way? Paul tells us, because we have a different home. This world is not our home. The pleasures of this world do not give us the pleasures that our true home gives us, the heavenly joy, the heavenly pleasures. We do not pursue earthly things because our citizenship is in heaven. So we pursue Jesus. We pursue the prize. We pursue the promises and blessings and treasures of heaven. And that takes us to our fourth consideration, the Christian prize. At the end of verse 21, speaking of heaven, Paul says, we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we belong to heaven, and we know that heaven has many great blessings awaiting us there, chief of which, most importantly, the greatest value is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, our Savior. He awaits us in heaven, and all these things await us, all these promises, all these blessings, all these glories await us in heaven. And what will Jesus do when he saves us? Among other things, Paul tells us in verse 21, he will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. By the way, in case you ever wonder where the Bible says we'll have new physical bodies, here's a good verse for you right here. By the way, I like Paul sometimes is not nice. Sometimes he's really to the point and difficult. Here, he's being nice a lot here. He calls our bodies in a humble condition instead of saying, you're really out of shape. you go to the doctor. How am I doing, doctor? Your body's kind of in a humble condition right now. That's not good, right? Paul says he'll take our bodies in the humble condition in which we are in and transform them into the likeness of what kind of body? Jesus' glorious body. How many of you have gone to the doctor? You don't have to raise your hand. It's probably not true anyway. And the doctor said, you have a glorious body. They probably find some things for you to work on, right? They find some things for you to work on, but Jesus will transform our bodies into the likeness of his glorious body. And what we learn from the second part of that verse is that Jesus has the power to do everything. What do you mean, Pastor? Where does it say that? It says, by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. Jesus can make everything his subject, as if he is, because he is, the king over everything. He's the king over everything. He has authority and power over everything. He has created the world out of nothing and did the glorious earth that we live in. And then our sin came into the world and started destroying what Jesus made. And he'll make it all over again when he makes the new heaven and the new earth, including your humble conditioned body and mine, because he has the power and authority to do that. Jesus will take away all the curse and all the trouble of this world and the sin that is in this world. And he will give us heavenly bodies to live in our heavenly home with our heavenly King forever. This is the promise of the gospel. And Paul is keeping this truth in front of him. He's keeping this reality in front of him, and he is pursuing that prize. That is the blessing that awaits us. This is what we call glorification. Glorification. When we come, I've got this for you. Three things here. That's three. When we come to Jesus, we are justified. When we progressively become like Jesus, we are being sanctified. When we experience all the fullness of Jesus, we will be glorified. You see that? We are, we are being, we will be. We are, we are being, we will be. We are justified, we are being sanctified, we will be glorified. This, my friends, is the prize to experience all the fullness of Jesus. What is the prize of which Paul speaks? This is it. To experience all the fullness of Jesus. This is what Paul is pursuing. He's not there yet. Neither are you. Neither am I. But we are to continue to pursue this prize. All the fullness of Jesus. Our glorification. Keep pursuing Jesus a little more every day. You and I, we started far from God. Here's a little illustration for you, okay? We started far from God, but Jesus changed you. He justified you, and he put you on the right path. So today, pursue Jesus. Tomorrow, pursue Jesus. Every day of your future, pursue Jesus until you reach glory with Jesus forever. That is the pursuit of the Christian. Christianity is not about perfection, it's about the pursuit. Perfection, the pursuit of Jesus. Let this bottom line summarize what we're learning today. Our heavenly call is to pursue Jesus more every day. Our heavenly call is to pursue Jesus more every day. Paul said in verse 14, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Listen, church, heaven is calling for you to pursue Jesus. Heaven is calling for you to experience sanctification leading to your glorification. The heavenly call is there. Will you answer the call? Will you pursue Jesus a little more every day? I promise you, church, this will change your life. So many Christians, for whatever reason, don't get this. They think they're okay to just stay where they are, or they think they need to be perfect. Neither of those things are true. Pursue Jesus a little more every day. You might say, Pastor, what happens if I start going the other direction? You didn't put that on the illustration. Well, I only have so many slides, okay? What should you do if you start going the other direction or if you fall down? Get back up and start going in the right direction. Pastor, what should I do if I sin greatly? Turn back to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. Tell him you love him and start pursuing him. Just like any human relationship, by the way. It's the same thing. What should I do if I hurt someone whom I love? Tell them you're sorry and start trying to love them more. That's how it works. I know most people in our culture don't know how to say I'm sorry, but you can still do that. You can tell the Lord too, I'm sorry. I sinned against you and I love you and I'm going to start pursuing you again every day. That's all it is. It's not rocket science. I'm not going to say it's easy because it's not easy. Christian life is not easy, but it's good. And get closer and closer to Jesus and you'll experience more and more of that goodness. Here's the weekly challenge for you this week. Set your eyes on the prize. Set your eyes on the prize. You know what it's like to be at work and it gets closer to the end of your shift? Anybody ever been there before? Some of you used to work, you know what that's like. You know what it's like to get to the end of your shift? We pastors do that too, you know, like we're looking like there's nothing else going on the rest of the night. We're like, it's almost time to go home. Start turning off the lights, getting your bag packed, you know. You get excited. Man, I'm getting excited. I'm almost done with work. I can't wait to get there. I'm going to go home and get some dinner, or I'm going to hit the town, or I'm going to take a nap, or I'm going to go play with my kids, whatever it might be, right? You start getting excited about that. You can press on through the rest of the day because you know that everything will be better soon. I'm going to clock out and get on out of here, right? You get excited. Listen, friends, everything will be better soon. Jesus has promised you glory with him. You will receive the prize of Jesus and all of his blessings. So don't give up. Keep pressing on. Keep pursuing the goal. Keep your eye on the prize. By God's glory and his goodness, you can do this. He will give you everything you need to follow him. Be encouraged, church. Don't be satisfied where you are. Don't look back. Look forward and pursue the prize. Before we conclude, in just a moment, I want to give a word of encouragement to those who are followers of Jesus. I want to talk specifically right now to those who are confident that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you think you've moved away from the Lord, you've strayed away a little bit. I want to talk to you as your pastor. Don't give up. God has not given up on you. Turn to Jesus again and keep following him. His grace is sufficient for you. Don't give up. He's got this. And by his power, you've got this. He's given you everything you need to follow him. Don't give up. I want to talk for a moment to those who have faithfully followed the Lord for many years and who, by God's grace and in humility, you would say, I think I'm following the Lord still. And I think I'm, by God's grace, doing a pretty good job. I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for following Jesus. And thank you for giving us an example to look to. We need you to keep being faithful. We need you to keep serving the Lord. Stay faithful. Give us an example to look to. And I want to say to those in this room who are not followers of Jesus, I want you to know Jesus can completely change your life. As we showed on that illustration, at the beginning of that illustration, without Jesus, we're going the wrong direction. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to humanity, but it results in death. That path that we were on before we had Jesus results in our death. Not just a physical death, which is terrible, but a real spiritual death where we're separated from God forever. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants to give you life. Jesus came and paid the death when he died on the cross, so that could be taken care of and you could have life. He wants you to turn to him. Jesus rose from the dead when he was buried in the grave and rose to new life in a powerful resurrection with a glorious body. And he demonstrated he had power over death, he had power over evil. And he has made that power available to you. You may say, well, what do I have to do? Just like that illustration showed, you start going towards Jesus. You walk away from your old way of life and you go towards Jesus. Follow. You know what Jesus said to his early apostles? Follow me. You want to know how to be rescued from your sin? You want to know how to be given new life? You want to know how to be rescued from death? Follow Jesus. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus, you will be saved. Call out to him. Admit that you're a sinner and admit that you need to be saved, and Jesus will make you new and commit to follow him with your life. He will justify you. Here's what that means. It means when God looks at you, he will say, not guilty, because Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. So call upon the name of Jesus and be justified And then every day of your life, follow Jesus more as you are being sanctified. And then one day, just as Jesus rose to new life, so too you and all those others who follow Jesus will also be raised to new life, and we will be glorified. Just a moment, we're going to sing a song of response. As we sing that song, I want to invite you to respond in any way the Lord is leading. Maybe you just need prayer. You say, Pastor, I need to get back on track. I need to follow Jesus a little more every day. Would you pray with me? We'd love to pray with you. Pastor Richard will be down here as well. We'd love to pray with you about how you can follow Jesus a little more faithfully every day. Maybe you have some other spiritual decision or question, whatever it might be. You might have questions about being baptized. You might have questions about, like, hey, how do you become a pastor? You might have questions about, how do I accept Jesus as my Lord? Whatever questions you have, come. We'd love to answer those questions for you. If you want to write something on the connection card, write something on the connection card. I promise you, we'll follow up with you. If we don't, call us out, because I told you we would. We want to be there for you and help you follow Jesus more faithfully. I believe that God is working in the hearts of those in this room this day through the power of his word. If nothing else, he's working in my heart. I want to be more faithful. I hope you do too. Join me in prayer as we prepare to respond however God is working in our hearts. God, we thank you for your word. We are so grateful for the book of Philippians. And God, we need to follow Jesus a little bit more every single day. So as we reflect upon the words of Philippians chapter 3, and now as we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. May we, in fact, decide to follow Jesus. Not just for the first time of giving our lives to Jesus Christ and being saved, but every single day. Not living in the past, not turning back, not staying still, following Jesus. And if there's someone here today who does not know Jesus as their Lord, may today be the day they start to follow Jesus. Lord, keep us free from temptation. Keep us free from ungodly influences that leads to destruction. And help us keep our eye on the prize, the heavenly call in Christ Jesus, which leads to experiencing all the fullness of Jesus and his blessings. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, stand together as we sing.